Blog Talk Radio.
From the far reaches of the known universe, we are proud to present Brother Harold Muhammad, soldier, scientist, scholar. Blog Talk Radio's finest, not so mad science, on Black Hole Radio.
Assalamu alaikum, and welcome to tonight's edition of Not So Mad Science here on the Black Hole Radio Network. It is imperative, and I say it is imperative. Tonight's program will give us insight into a world many of us forget that it exists. So, we're going to cover something called poetry. We're going to cover political intrigue. We're going to deal with the theological definition of today's world and its proof in the world of sciences. There's a song by Stevie Wonder which goes, "Don't you see? We are all meant to be one and the same. No matter how you change the score, we will be evermore one and the same." Now, in my opening for tonight's program that I had prepared for, there is a piece on COVID, which I came off after I had already logged tonight's program, that I am going to share that is not in the header. So with that said, let's begin with a piece of poetry by Christopher Michaels. What is perfect about this piece of poetry from Mr. Michaels is that it speaks to the human condition, to the world we live in today. It speaks to your heart if you will but listen. Purse Clutchers by Christopher Michaels. It seems we have cued Mr. Michaels in, but it's not playing for us. We're going to give it a few more moments and see what we have. And it's still not happening for me. Well, with that said, I'm not going to deny us a piece of beautiful poetry. So I will go back to a piece that we've played many, many times over the years by Mr. Daniel Beatty called Knock Knock.
As a boy, I shared a game with my father. Played it every morning till I was three. He would knock, knock on my door, and I'd pretend to be asleep till he got right next to the bed. Then I would get up and jump into his arms. "Good morning, Papa." And my papa, he would tell me that he loved me. We shared a game, knock, knock. Until that day when the knock never came. And my mama takes me on a ride past cornfields on this never-ending highway till we reach a place of high, rusty gates. A confused little boy, I enter the building carried in my mama's arms. Knock, knock. We reach a room of windows and brown faces. Behind one of the windows sits my father. I jump out of my mama's arms and run joyously towards my papa's, only to be confronted by this window. I knock, knock, trying to break through the glass, trying to get to my father. I knock, knock as my mama pulls me away before my papa even says a word. And for years he has never said a word. And so 25 years later, I write these words for the little boy in me who still awaits his papa's knock. "Papa, come home, because I miss you. Miss you waking me up in the morning and telling me you love me. Papa, come home, because there's things I don't know, and I thought maybe you could teach me how to shave, how to dribble a ball, how to talk to a lady, how to walk like a man. Papa, come home, because I decided a while back I want to be just like you, but I'm forgetting who you are." And 25 years later, a little boy cries, and so I write these words and try to heal and try to father myself, and I dream up a father who says the words my father did not, "Dear son, I'm sorry I never came home. For every lesson I failed to teach, hear these words. Shave in one direction with strong, deliberate strokes to avoid irritation. Dribble the page with the brilliance of your ballpoint pen. Walk like a god, and your goddess will come to you. No longer will I be there to knock on your door, so you must learn to knock for yourself. Knock, knock down doors of racism and poverty that I could not. Knock, knock on doors of opportunity for the lost brilliance of the black men who crowd these cells. Knock, knock with diligence for the sake of your children. Knock, knock for me, for as long as you are free, these prison gates cannot contain my spirit. The best of me still lives in you. Knock, knock with the knowledge that you are my son, but you are not my choices. Yes, we are our father's sons and daughters, but we are not their choices. For despite their absences, we are still here, still alive, still breathing, with the power to change this world, one little boy and girl at a time. Knock, knock, who's there? We are.
With that said, This is Not So Mad Science here on the Black Hole Radio Network, coming to you live once and again from the city of Detroit, Motown. Just because Berry Gordy took Motown to L.A. does not mean Detroit has lost its soul. So let's get right into it with some COVID news, which I had hoped and prayed I had gotten soon enough to put it in the header, but I'm going to share it with you now anyway. Again, this is by Dr. Joseph Mercola from The Defender. He says his story looks like this at a glance. Could COVID shots trigger an avalanche of a contagious form of dementia? According to mounting data, one of the more serious side effects of the COVID-19 mRNA jabs may be dementia. And this previously non-transmissible disease may now be contagious, transmissible by way of prions. Now, I'm going to give you, by Allah's grace and permission, a definition of what prions are. Prions, which is spelled R-I-O-N-S. Prions is a misfolded protein that can induce misfolding of normal variants of the same protein and trigger cellular death. They happen when proteins in your brain turn into an abnormal protein, which they call prions. Prion's disease causes brain damage that leads to dementia. Now, with that said, let's continue. We have a definition. Mounting research suggests a serious side effect of the COVID-19 mRNA jabs could be the cause of and causes dementia. And prions that may cause or are causing it to become contagious. Frame shifting, as we now know, occurs in COVID-19 shots, can induce prion production and lead to the neurodegenerative diseases such as Alzheimer's and Creutzfeldt-Jakob's disease. Sid Belzberg, prions.rip website, which collected data on neurological side effects post-jab, that's post-vaccine, COVID-19 vaccine jabs, found a notably higher incidence of diagnosed Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease cases, suggesting an alarming trend. A series of articles highlights bias in clinical trials and observational studies suggesting that COVID-19 vaccines' safety and effectiveness have been massively overstated. The Global COVID Vaccine Safety Project study, funded by the U.S. Center for Disease Control and Prevention, reveals significant side effects, including myocarditis, pericarditis, and blood clots, underscoring the need for reevaluation of the COVID-19 vaccine risk and benefits. According to mounting data, one of the more serious side effects of the COVID-19 mRNA jabs appears to be dementia. And worse yet, this previously non-transmissible disease may now be contagious, transmissible by the way of prions. In a 2021 interview with Stephanie Seneff, PhD, she explained why she suspected the COVID-19 shot may eventually result in an avalanche of neurological prion-based diseases, such as Alzheimer's. She also published a paper detailing those mechanisms in the May 10, 2021 issue of the International Journal of Vaccine Theory. As she explained in that paper, published by J. Bart Klassen, proposed that the spike protein in the mRNA vaccines could cause prion-like diseases in part through its ability to bind to many known proteins and induce their misfolding into potential prions. Indries and Kumar, a paper published in 2021 also, has proposed that the spike protein's S1 components is prone to act as a functional amyloid and form toxic aggregates and can ultimately lead to neurodegeneration. In summary, the take-home from Dr. Seneff's paper is that the COVID-19 shots offered to hundreds of millions of people are instruction sets for your body to make a toxic protein that will eventually wind up concentrated in your spleen, from where prion-like protein instructions will be sent out, leading to neurodegenerative diseases. Again, the term prion derives from proteinaceous infectious particles. Prions are known to cause a variety of neurodegenerative diseases in animals and humans, such as CJD in humans, bovine spongiform encephalitis, or BSE, or mad cow disease, in cattle, and chronic wasting disease in deer and elk. These diseases are collectively referred to as transmissible spongiform encephalitis. Rather, I should say encephalopathies. Not encephalitis, but encephalopathies. They're characterized by long incubation periods, brain damage, the formation of holes in the brain, giving it a sponge-like appearance, and failure to induce an inflammatory response. In short, prions are infectious agents composed entirely of a protein material that can fold in multiple structurally distinct ways, at least one of which is transmissible to other prion proteins, leading to a disease that is similar to viral infections but without the nucleic acids. Unlike bacteria, viruses, and fungi, which contain nucleic acids, DNA or RNA, that instruct their replications, prions propagate by transforming or transmitting their misfolded protein state to normal variants of the same protein. According to the prion disease model, the infectious properties of prions are due to the ability of the abnormal protein to convert normal versions of the protein into the misfolded form, thereby setting off a chain reaction that progressively damages the nervous system. Prions are remarkably resistant to conventional methods of sterilization and can survive extreme conditions that would normally destroy nucleic acids or other pathogens, which in part of why prions' diseases are so difficult to treat. There's more evidence that shots can trigger dementia. Just a couple of days ago, to support Dr. Seneff's theory, in August of 2022, it was reported by tech entrepreneur Sid Belzberg wrote about prions, RIP, which is the website, a website he'd set up to collect data on the neurological side effects of the jab. This site, unfortunately, is no longer live. Within a few months, the site had received about 15,000 hits and gathered 60 reports from people who got the jab and suffered neurological deficits shortly thereafter, including 6 cases of diagnosed Creutzfeldt-Jakob's disease. Normally, this disease affects 1 in 1 million people, according to Mr. Belzberg. But he continued to say, to get 6 cases, you need 6 million hits to the site, assuming everyone reports. The chances of getting 1 case in 15,000 hits is 1 in 66. To see 6 cases in one group of 15,000 is 1 66th of a 6th, or 1 in 82 billion, or 20 times more likely to win a Powerball lottery. To reiterate, Creutzfeldt-Jakob's disease is an exceptionally rare disease that is now a known, established, severe adverse reaction, an SAE, which is supposed to go into the SAE report for all vaccines, from the death facts, which is what the COVID-19 vaccine is called, the death facts. Injecting this slow-kill bioweapon can cause ailments that are about as likely to develop in the real world, as getting struck by lightning twice. The proof is now irrefutable. Frame shifting can result in prion production. In mid-December of 2023, just a few months ago, researchers reported that by replacing of uracil with synthetic methylpseudoephedrine in the COVID-19 shots, a process known as codon optimization can cause frame shifting, a glitch in the decoding, thereby triggering the production of off-target aberrant protein. The antibodies that develop as a result may, in turn, trigger off-target immune reactions. According to the authorities, off-target cellular immune responses occur in 25 to 30% of people who have received the COVID-19 shot, but that's not all. According to British neuroscientist Dr. Kevin McCarron, this frame-shifting phenomenon has also been linked to harmful prion production. And the frame-shifted prions specifically are infectious and can be transmitted from one person to another, as reported in the Journal of Theoretical Biology in 2013. The plot thickens. Quote, a quantitatively consistent explanation for the teachers of ineffectivity found in a variant of prion-containing preparation is provided on the basis that the etiological agents of transmissible spongiform encephalopathy comprise a very small population fraction of prion protein variants which contain frame-shifted elements in their N-terminal octapeptide repeat regions. Frame-shifting accounts quantitatively for the etiology of prion disease. 1 per million frame-shifted prions may be enough to cause disease. The HIV TAR-like elements in the PRNP mRNA is likely an effector of frame-shifting. And now, I feel at this time, before I go on, that a more detailed explanation of frame shifting needs to be given. So, that said, let us do so. Let us get a definition for frame shifting that we can all appreciate and understand. Biologically, a frame shift mutation is a genetic mutation caused by a deletion or of insertion in a DNA sequence that shifts the way the sequence is read. A DNA sequence is a chain of many smaller molecules called nucleotides. Now, if we will all recall and be honest with ourselves, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan told us, do not take that damnable vaccine. Until and when we knew more about what it really is and what its effects are. Not a week went by after he told us not to touch that damnable vaccine. We found out through the scientific and medical and chemical literature that the mRNA vaccine, a product of the CRISPR process to alter, change, and manipulate genes, gene sequences to produce a different product other than what was natively or naturally to occur, this process to develop the mRNA-based COVID-19 vaccine is not a vaccine by definition. It is gene therapy. As a result, this gene therapy is causing the production of these prions in your body and in your gut and in your brain, leading to Creutzfeldt disease, dementia, and Alzheimer's. That said, let's keep on going. Mr. McCarron explained in 2023, February 19th of 2023 to be exact, in an interview with Health Alliance Australia, in it he noted misfolded proteins caused by prions can impact every level of organ and tissue in the body system. They bioaccumulate and are resistant to degradation, thereby they build up. Prions may be, in fact, or may, in fact, be the primary molecule that is being shed by the COVID-19 jab recipient. And if those prions are due to frame shifting, that could be very bad news indeed, considering their implication in dementia. Another doctor there's another doctor who believes will be facing an epidemic of prion disease. His name is Dr. David Cartland. In late February of this year, he posted 13 scientific papers linking the COVID-19 jab, prions disease, Creutzfeldt-Jakob's disease, noting that was just a small selection of what's available in the medical literature. We have been told many, many times over that the vaccine jab, regardless of which manufacturer's vaccine you use, was making people sick and ill as opposed to making them well. Those who were not killed right away, these multiple jabs were compounding a condition of yet unknown origin. Now we know. For the millions of those who foolishly fell for the okey-doke. These prions are implicated as well in what is called long COVID. According to the genomics expert Kevin McCarron, PhD, prions are also involved in long COVID care. Long vax is the term they use for it now. In one 2024 study, 96.7% of long COVID sufferers had received the jab. I'm going to say that again. In one study this year, 2024, 96.7% of long COVID sufferers had received the jab. In an interview with the Frontline COVID-19 Critical Care Alliance, Dr. McCarron stated this, quote, if you frame shift over the stop codons, you're going to be making proteins that are spike mitoproteins. When I talk to a lot of long vax patients, I hear of all these things that remind me of my time in the mitochondrial disease sequencing space. Dr. McCarron claims he tried to publish a paper on this in 2021 with Dr. Peter McCullough, but the editor of the journal stepped in and torpedoed the paper. In related news, the world's largest study to date on the side effects of the COVID-19 jab was published in the journal Vaccine on February 12th of this year. And it confirms what I and many other doctors and many other alternative news sources have been saying all along, namely that the mRNA jabs are the most dangerous medical products to ever hit the market. The study performed by the Global COVID Vaccine Safety Project and funded by the CDC, Public Health Ontario, and the Canadian Health Research Institute evaluated the risk of adverse events of special interest, also known as AESI, following COVID-19 vaccinations. Data from 10 sites in 8 countries, Argentina, Australia, Canada, Denmark, Finland, France, New Zealand, and Scotland were included, encompassing more than 99 million jabbed individuals. Of the thousands of side effects Pfizer listed in its confidential report of post-authorization adverse events submitted to the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, the Global COVID Vaccine Safety focused on 13 AESIs that fall into 3 primary categories: neurological, hematologic or blood-related, and cardiovascular conditions. They calculated the AESI for risk of the 13 AESIs based on the number of observed versus expected incidents occurring up to 42 days after the injection. The expected number of side effects were based on vaccine adverse events data from 2015 to 2019. These rates were then compared to the adverse event rates observed in those who got one or more of the COVID-19 jabs, either Pfizer's, the BNT162B1B2 shot, Moderna's mRNA-1273 shot, or AstraZeneca's CHA-DOX1 shot. The results were not good. They knew, yet they continued to sell this product to a feckless government that forced it upon the American people and people around the world. Their analysis revealed several concerning side effects, including increased risk of myocarditis, pericarditis, blood clots in the vein, and the various neurological conditions that follow. Here's a quick summary of the findings. Myocarditis and pericarditis. Pfizer's vaccine, their OE ratios for myocarditis were 2.78 and 2.86 after the first and second shot, with the risk remaining doubled after the third and fourth shots. And just so you remember, OE means observed cases. Observed versus expected. All right? Moderna's vaccine, their OE ratios for myocarditis were 3.48 and 6.10 after the first and second shot. Doses 1 and 4 also show OE ratios of 1.74 and 2.64 for pericarditis. AstraZeneca's vaccine, their OE ratio for pericarditis was 6.91 after the third shot. Blood clots in the brain, or cerebral venous sinus thrombosis. An OE of 3.23 for CVST was observed after the first AstraZeneca shot. A significant increase in the CVST risk was also noted after the second shot from the Pfizer vaccine. Neurological conditions. Guillain-Barré syndrome has an OE ratio of 2.49 were observed following the AstraZeneca jab. Transverse myelitis, meaning that sheath that the brain sits in begins to deteriorate. That risk nearly doubled with the AstraZeneca shot. Acute disseminated encephalitis or encephalomyelitis, that OE ratio of 3.78 for Moderna and 2.23 for the AstraZeneca was noted. These findings really underscore the potential for serious side effects from the COVID-19 shots, including conditions that may lead to other consequences in the longer term, such as stroke, heart attack, paralysis, and ultimately death. The effectiveness and safety was wildly exaggerated in the so-called clinical trials, I'll put it that way. Considering those findings, it's no surprise to find that the effectiveness and safety were exaggerated completely in the clinical trials and the observational studies. In a guest post on Dr. Robert Malone's Substack, Raphael Laster, or Lataster, PhD, he wrote, and I quote, an unofficial series of four crucially important medical journal articles, two by me, him personally, appearing in major academic publishers while these journals of evaluations in clinical practice, reveals that claims made about COVID-19 vaccine effectiveness and safety were exaggerated in the clinical trials and the observational studies, which significantly impacts the risk-benefit analysis. Also discussed are the concerning topics of myocarditis, with evidence indicating that this one adverse effect alone means that the risks outweigh the benefits in the young and healthy, and perceived negative effectiveness, which indicates that the vaccines increases the chance of COVID-19 infections, hospitalizations, death, to say nothing about the other adverse effects, end quote. The four papers in question included, one, sources of bias in observational studies of COVID-19 vaccine effectiveness, published in the Journal of Evaluations in Clinical Practice in March of 2023, co-authored by BMJ editor Peter Doshi, PhD, statistician Kaiser Fung, and biostatistician Mark Jones, which concluded that case counting window bias had a significant effect on effectiveness estimates. As explained by Dr. Lastister, this, quote, concerns the 7 days, 14 days, or even 21 days after the jab, where we are meant to overlook jab-related issues such as COVID infections. For some odd reason, as the vaccine has not had sufficient time to stimulate the immune system. This may strike you as quite bizarre, since all of the fully vaccinated must go through the process of being partially vaccinated, sometimes even more than once. To make matters worse, the unvaccinated do not get such a grace period, meaning that there is also a clear bias at play. In an example using data from Pfizer's clinical trial, the authors show that thanks to this bias, a vaccine with effectiveness of 0%, which is confirmed in hypothetical clinical trials, could be seen in observational studies as having effectiveness of 48%. In other words, they're lying with the numbers. Paper number two, reply to Fung et al. On COVID-19 vaccine cases, counting window biases overstating vaccine effectiveness, authored by Dr. Lasseter. Not Lasseter, but Lasseter, which discussed how the counting window bias not only affected effectiveness estimates in observational studies, but also safety estimates, suggesting a need for reassessment of vaccine safety. The article also addresses the mysterious rise in non-COVID excess deaths post-pandemic. Paper number three, how the case counting window affected vaccine efficacy calculations in randomized trials of COVID-19 vaccines. Again, co-authored by Dr. Doshi and Fung, which detail how case counting window issues also overestimated effectiveness in Pfizer and Moderna clinical trials, which means they found a way to lie, or rather not tell the truth without being accused of lying. The fourth paper. A second article by Dr. Lasseter, in which he highlighted and summarized the evidence showing that clinical trials were affected by adverse effects counting window issues that led to exaggerated safety estimates. Together, these four articles make clear that claims about COVID-19 vaccines' effectiveness and safety were exaggerated in the clinical trials and observational studies, whilst also finding time to discuss myocarditis and perceived negative effectiveness, meaning that the new analyses are very much needed, according to Dr. Lasseter. And this, I'm just happy to say, is not so mad science here on the Black Hole Radio Network, making sure that the truth and the evidence are put into the public medium and on the record. This is your host, Brother Harold Muhammad, and we'll be right back. Welcome back. This is not so much time for hoop. The Harold Hunter from the Black Hole Radio Network. Now, it is time that we reach into the world of education, which is part of tonight's program, speaking about the theological conditions or definitions of today's world, and if the proof is in the world of sciences. So, I want to touch on the disgusting aspect of today's so-called educational world. We have, by the misfortune of their existence, in the state of Wisconsin, in an article published on May 3rd of this month, a 24-year-old Wisconsin elementary school teacher was arrested for making out with her fifth grade student less than 3 months before her wedding. Ms. Madison Bergman's abuse of an 11-year-old boy came to light when the student's mother overheard her son talking to the teacher on the phone. Mind you, now this is reported on CBS. The victims, the young boy's parents, found text messages between him and the teacher. That's when the boy's father then stormed into Rivercrest Elementary School with printouts of the conversation between this child, a fifth grader, and his teacher. The deranged text chain includes messages from Ms. Bergman allegedly discussing multiple encounters inside the classroom during lunch or after school between her and this child. She is also accused of telling the child how much she enjoyed him touching her and making out. Inside her bag, when she was arrested, police found a folder with the child's name on it containing many handwritten notes talking about how much they kissed one another. In one of the letters, Ms. Bergman allegedly wrote, "One of my cousins is in the fifth grade, and I can't imagine a man talking to her how we talk. I know we have a special relationship, and I do love you more than anyone in the world, but I have to be the adult here and stop." It's not clear just how long this abuse has been going on, but Bergman told investigators she was given the boy's phone number by his mother in December, when his family invited who they thought was a beloved teacher with them to Afton Alps for winter break. That was also the same month she became engaged to her longtime boyfriend, according to what's on her social media page. According to documents, when officers asked about the text exchanges between the two, Bergman invoked her right to an attorney. This accused pervert has since been placed on administrative leave and barred from contacting any students in the school district, parents, or staff. The Hudson School District told parents the same day as her arrest, learning about a school staff member and the alleged inappropriate conduct that breaches trust is deeply troubling for all of us, the message wrote stated. According to her social media, Bergman was set to be married in July, less than 3 months from when she was arrested. She began teaching at the Rivercrest Elementary School in 2022, a milestone she celebrated with a photo of her classroom on Facebook. "Can't wait for school to start," she ominously wrote. Bergman faces one count of first-degree child sexual assault. She was released on a $25,000 signature bond. I'm not done. There's more. There is more. The sick thing of it is that there is more. Let's go to Louisiana. One Louisiana teacher had sex with one student, sexted, and bought booze for others, according to the police report. Alexa Wingerder, 35, allegedly had sexual relations with at least one of her 18-year-old male high school students and bought booze for others at a local bar. This Louisiana teacher sexted with her students. Students, plural. Bought them booze at local dives and had sex with at least one of them, according to the local police. In March of this year, police launched an investigation over complaints that the 35-year-old Alexa Wingerder was having inappropriate relationships with and sending inappropriate photographs and messages to her male students. at Slidell High School. After the Slidell Police Department conducted multiple interviews and executed several search warrants, Wingerter was charged with prohibited sexual conduct between an educator and student, as well as unlawful purchase of alcoholic beverages on behalf of a person underage. Or rather, in this case, under 21. Investigators found sufficient evidence to support that Wingerter was involved in an inappropriate sexual relationship with at least one 18-year-old male student, as she acted in the capacity of the student's educator, according to the police report. The department said their investigation is still ongoing, and any additional victims were asked to come forward. Evidence was also found that Wingerter was purchasing alcohol for her students at local bars in the town of Slidell. This was posted in the press release. Wingerter also booked into Tammany Parish Detention Center this past Thursday and released the same day after posting a $3,500 bond. One guy hit for $25,000 on a signature bond, and this one gets released for a lousy $3,500 for sexually assaulting students. The St. Tammany Parish School District confirmed to Fox News Digital that Wingerter was no longer employed there. The safety and well-being of our students is our top priority, according to District Attorney Frank Gabbia. Any allegations of inappropriate conduct are taken very seriously and are reported directly to law enforcement. We have strict policies in place to ensure that any behavior compromising the safety of our students is not tolerated. We will continue to prioritize the safety of our students above all else. Now, I brought these two particular stories particularly so that I could then follow up with the wisdom of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad as this sick world goes down and the people in it. A new world must come in. The judgment is now by the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad.
Greetings to you. I'm Elijah Muhammad, the preacher of freedom, justice, and equality to you, my poor black people who has been lost in the wilderness of North America for the last 400 or more years. You, my dear beloved brothers and sisters that is listening to my voice on this album, I would that you pay good attention to it. Our subject is the judgment. Judgment has been taught and we have been warned that it is a day coming that we all will be judged. And whosoever Allah have mercy upon, that person have a great reward bestowed upon him. Because we live in a world guided by the open enemy, the devil himself. Therefore, being lost from our own people, wherein there was no one to teach us, no one to help us, all teachers was prevented from teaching us. A very pitiful condition our fathers fell in when captured by our enemies, the open devil, in our native land. Through deceit, here we are today on trial before the God who will judge us all. Who will this God be? Best Son of Man, both Bible and Holy Quran declares he will be a man, a son from a man, Son of Man. Not a formless spirit that the scientists, scholars of religion have given this name to that judge on that day, the day of judgment in which we now live, will be a man. For only a man can judge rightly between man and man, because their nature is alike. Anything other than a man cannot judge our affairs, nor guide us in the right way that we will be successful. It's got to be a man. That's when is the day of resurrection. This is the day of resurrection. You're living in it. When is the doom coming? When will be its taking place? Don't hurry for that day, because you are living in it now. The days of the judgment of God upon the wicked and the correction and separating the righteous from the wicked, according to many of the scholars on this subject, would be something like near 20 years. That time would be between 1380 and 1400 of the Arab calendar, and of their scientists, which knows more about scripture than the Christian could ever dream of. We now are living near these days, the dreadful days of judgment, the end of the judgment, the end of those years now approaches us. We cannot say to you that which we do not know. Lest time will prove us liars, God have set to me that the time has long passed due for the executing of the wicked, the enemies, who have misled the whole world of black men, except about 10% of them. So he taught me, night and day in person, for 3 whole long years, and about 4 or 5 months. And he still guides me. He still speaks to me whenever he pleases. Right directly the voice come to my ear from his mouth, like listen to a word from you whenever he pleases. He have taught me so many signs and so many ways that he can guide me, not by word alone and not by seeing him in person, but just by hints. And I have learned those hints of various things. The judgment is coming. No, it's not coming. It's here. Why should we have a judgment? Why should people be judged? It is because of an act of an evil one that did not love truth and righteousness and wanted to make a complete people who also did not or would not love truth and righteousness and justice, that they may mislead us in the way of righteousness. In this way, turning the whole nation of the earth, the Aboriginal people, the black man, into following them, believing in them and their falsehood, he would be able to carry down at the day of resurrection, day of judgment, forced everyone that did not have the knowledge of him, or them as I should say, for they are a whole race of people. This people that I am referring to is none other than the white race. They have rule according to their God, Yahweh, who gave them the knowledge, who made them and taught them how to rule us for the past 6,000 years. This has been done, and they brought us up without the knowledge of ourselves, making us a prey to them in the day of judgment in which we now live. Who will judge this Son of Man? Who is this Son of Man, you may question? He is a man that the Almighty God of the black man's nation made for the purpose of being the judge today. He's called and is known as the Son of Man. This makes it clear to you from both scripture books that is the Bible and Quran, that you don't expect anything but a man to sit judge over the nations of the earth on the day of judgment, as the 28th verse of the chapter 45 of the Holy Quran. It reads something like this: and thou wilt see every nation kneeling down. Every nation will be called to its reckoning. Now, the 29th verse says, this is our record that speaks against you with truth. Surely we wrote what you did. This is the voice of the Son of Man and the judgment watched over us, and every action that we taken was written, whether it was good or bad. The evil opponent, the devil in person, an open enemy of ours, deceiving us all these centuries and thousands of years, today puts on one of the greatest shows that ever was put on by man to get us to go to hell with him. Temptation. He knows the nature of us. That man always have that nature to want to do. This he laid hold on. Up until this very minute, he's trying to use his woman, his sons and daughters to tempt the black man here in America and throughout the world of man. They are in Africa, Asia, trying to tempt the black man to accept their woman and their sons. Take them. Don't have to marry them. Do what you please with them. Just so long as you commit the act with them, this is all we want to do. They don't love you any more today than they love you 100 or 1,000 years ago. What the act is to bring you and this favor and this light to your God, your salvation, and your people of your kind. This is what's going on today. We know what he's trying to do, and you should know, my foolish brother, who is now being tempted by them. They don't want you for nothing but their doom. To hell with them. Because of what? Because you have a good chance, a free chance to go to heaven, to see the hereafter. But they don't have it. They were not made to go to heaven. They was made for fuel for the fire of hell. There are a people that come in a vacuum between our calendar history of 9,000 years to 15,000 years. This people, their maker, the God Yaku, a black original man, he told them to go and deceive all you can for 6,000 years.
As-salamu alaykum. Unfortunately, I have to bring tonight's program to an end right there. But I assure you, as Allah is my witness, we will begin with this part again next week. Because the world that we're living in, where teachers are now preying upon, there's one thing when they're 18 years, but you're preying upon 5-year-old babies now. You've poisoned the air that we breathe, the fish, the sea, the food we grow from the ground. You've poisoned it with your machinations. Plastic in places where it doesn't belong. I wanted to get to the political intrigue, but familial responsibilities require that I tend to that at the 8 o'clock hour. And perhaps maybe I'll be able to do a special edition of Not So Mad Science next week, by Allah's grace, where I get to finish today and a show next week. If I can get the full 3-hour booking, I will do 2 shows, 2 hour-and-a-half segments, back to back, to finish tonight and to bring the news of next week. To that end, in those immortal words of that great and powerful black preacher, Adam Clayton Powell Jr. of the Abyssinian Baptist Church, Allah is here to save us all. So keep the faith, baby. Keep the faith.